We're all good.
Welcome to the Trim Radio Network and my world, live, laugh, or whatever, with Stu Scheer. You can come on over to the Trim Radio Network. We broadcast live all over the world, and we have so many great shows on here. So just go on over to the trimradionetwork.com, check out our shows, check out our merchandise on there that you can get, because we've got some good stuff, and it's good quality stuff, too. And it helps us stay on the air. Anyway, the opinions expressed by our host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. And any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise. That song right there, Leave It to Beezer, from that great television show way back when, is covered under our BMI music license, 6105-1658. And we have a call-in number, as always, 803-866-1667. And guess what? It's time for Stu.
Hey, Michael. Well, I'll tell you what. Just before the show, we're trying to hook up the microphone and the camera. And for some reason, the camera doesn't want to cooperate. And I've checked all my connections. And there's just something. There's always a bug, you know? nothing ever works perfectly, you know. They must have hit me with the ugly stick when I went to the dentist this afternoon, and that's why the camera's not working.
Hey, it took me 2 weeks, Stu, to get this computer up and running the right way, so you don't have to talk to me about electronics. But we have a brand new high-end system, and it is working wonderful, so thank the good Lord above. And whew. Don't forget to mention my buddy, Rusty Duck's Pens.
Oh, hey, you want to tell him a little bit about Rusty Duck's Pens?
I'll tell you what. I just love his pens, and I don't know. Maybe I can put it on here. I was thinking about that the other day, Stu, and I'm going to see. The next time that we're on, I'm going to be able to put it on up here, and everybody can actually see it right off of our dial pad meeting. So I'll be able to do that. So we'll do that.
Well, you know,
we'll do that next time.
If you check out Rusty Duck's Custom Pens on Facebook, that's Rusty, and then Duk'S Custom Pens. He's got some really good stuff, and Michael and I both have pens from Rusty Duck's Custom Pens.
Absolutely.
And he does a fantastic job.
Oh. They're absolutely wonderful and smooth and just, he's just fantastic. I mean, and he makes sure before they go on out, they're absolutely just beautiful, vivid, nice pens, great weight to them. I got one done for the Cobra, actually two of them. So I'm really happy about it. I keep it in my case.
Yeah, keep it in your case.
Yep, the display
case. Well, sometimes it's good to get it out of the case and use it once in a while just to make sure it works, you know.
Because
it always works. It's a cross pen.
Yeah, I know.
It always works.
Yeah, I just, I love it. So it works great. Well, without me taking up your time, you go ahead and go, and I will catch you back here at right around 8:53.
Oh, 53. Oh, well, hey, I better hurry up. Well, anyhow, guys, welcome to my world. And we're going to have a little bit of life and laugh and whatever tonight. We got a lot of stuff to cover. And, you know, last week, I really didn't get a chance to cover some of the stuff that I wanted to. And I tried to cover it on Sunday at Money and Change / Financially Prepped. And that's our Facebook page. And I got a lot of stuff in, but then we had something called an election that came up, and I really don't cover political stuff, but it all gets hyped up, and it really gets hyped up and hyped up and hyped up, and then Monday comes, and it really gets hyped up, and you have all these ads. Ads everywhere. Vote for me. Vote for me. Vote for this. Vote for that. God, I feel like George Carlin. But anyhow, now it's Wednesday, and you notice it's quiet. It's amazing. It's quiet. Now they're trying to count up whatever votes that were out there that couldn't get counted. And as I was listening to stuff, it was kind of strange because in Tennessee, some of the voting machines just magically didn't work. They couldn't read both sides of the ballot. That was the same way, I think, in Texas with a couple locations and a lot of them in Arizona. That's a double Maybe they ought to really look into that because there's a thing called voter disenfranchisement, which means your vote didn't count for some weird reason, even though you followed the rules and the laws and everything else. And, you know, it's kind of crazy. And somebody asked me, they said, well, how do you think the vote ought to go? I said, well, it's like this. And believe it or not, about 99% of the people said, gee, you're right. And I said, well, yeah, I think so. And one person said, well, how right are you? And I said, well, it's like this. One citizen, big word, citizen, one vote. That's it. Not two votes like Chicago, but one citizen, one vote. Have a way of verifying it. Why not just do away with the electronic stuff? Because too many things can get messed up. And that was evident in Tennessee and I believe out in Arizona and a few other states. Electronics aren't perfect, and the people that program those things aren't perfect. And if you have something on paper and pencil, it's there. Or I'll put it this way, paper and pen, it's there. It's not going to be changed. And all you have to do is say, here's my driver's license. And sign, like we do here in Ohio, and they give you your ballot, and you pick a booth to mark it, and mark it correctly. You have to darken in all the little circles, and then you take it to a reader, and they run it through the reader, and it reads both sides. How it does it beats me, but it does. But you can never check what was entered into the reader, and that makes me wonder. Oh, well, that's not a pet peeve. We'll get into those in a little bit here. But my world disclaimer, oh, I have to do that. Michael does his thing and I have to do mine. Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Take what we say with a grain of salt and always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for any damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. Any persons or characters mentioned are, for the most part, fictional or about as close to it as we can get. So sit back, relax, and chill out. And oh, by the way, hey, Tell all your friends to join us on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Why not? We have a good time. There's a lot of stuff going on. And the big thing that popped up today, man, I was looking at the Wonder Map. The Wonder Map is Weather Underground. And it shows exactly where this Tropical Storm Nicole is expected to strengthen into a Category 1 hurricane. And right now it's off the Grand Bahama Islands and it's heading to the east coast of Florida around Port St. Lucie. And it's going to go inland and it looks like it's going to go over to, past Tampa, Florida, 7 p.m., which is Thursday. 7 a.m. Friday, it's in the middle of Georgia, and 7 p.m. Friday, 7 a.m. Friday, it's the middle of Georgia's, and 7 p.m. Friday, gee whiz, Michael, you're going to have rain between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Friday. And then hopefully it just phases out, goes back out to sea, or it just stops altogether. It's just only a Category 1. For that, a lot of people in Florida just say, we can put our beach chair out and sit out and watch it come in, and when it gets heavier rain, we go inside. Easy for them to say, I've been through a Category 1, maybe a Category 3/4. Anyhow, it was in Clearwater Beach, which is west of Tampa. And I'll tell you what, the windows were closed in the apartment and I was bailing water coming out of the cracks in the windows. It's kind of scary. So make sure that you have plenty of batteries for lights and you've got backup power, you've got water, you've got food, you've got your radio, you can listen to see what's going on. Make sure your windows are locked and airtight so that the water doesn't pour in like it did when I was down there. And I remember, and this is many years ago, the day before the tropical storm came in out of the Gulf was just shiny as glass. It was so smooth. And then about 10 o'clock that night, everything broke loose. And the wind picked up, and a lot of boats that were out tried to weather the storm out in the Gulf. Some of them didn't make it. They were sunk, and the crews were killed. It came into shore, and where I was at, which was Indian Rocks Beach, which is just south of Clearwater Beach, the wind was so strong, it picked up a catamaran that was off the off the shore just a little bit and drove it 200 feet into the seawall right next to the apartments. I mean, I had friends that had a picture window overlooking that. And when they got up in the morning and they saw how close that catamaran got, that was a shocker. And we used to take steps down to the private beach where we were at the apartments. But thanks to the storm, we didn't have to. We could just walk out onto the sand. That was a little scary. And the wind was about 85 miles an hour the next day. And I remember my flight was canceled back to Ohio. And I had to call my boss and said, hey, I'm stuck down here for maybe a day or two. And I caught the next available flight out, which was the next day. And I pleaded with the guy. I said, look, I've got to get to Ohio. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Well, we can't get you there. Well, why not? Well, we can't get you there. So I argued with the guy a little bit. I said, look, I work for the governor for the state of Ohio, which my paycheck comes from there. I didn't know the governor directly, but he didn't know that. And I said, I got to get there. And I said, how about Tampa to Shreveport, Shreveport to Dayton, Ohio, and I'll catch a flight out of Dayton. Nope, this, that, and the other. We can get you to Dallas, Texas. I thought, this is going to be interesting. So they got me to Dallas, Texas, and then I had to take an American Airlines flight from Dallas, which is Dallas-Fort Worth, DFW. And I took that up to Dayton. I got into Dayton about 11:30 at night. A friend of mine picked me up. And then I got to where my car was, and I had to wade through about 2.5 feet of snow to get to the house, to get my stuff inside, dragging, you know, suitcases and everything else. And then the next day I had to dig myself out. And where I was staying was at my parents' place, and I had to use a snowblower, which was a small one, to clear out a driveway that goes 90 feet across the back of the property and then 90 feet up a hill and out to the street. That was an interesting deal, but I finally got out and got back to my office in Cincinnati. That was quite a trip. But always be prepared for storms. And when you're in the tornado season and the hurricane season, you got to be prepared. Which reminds me, today, I was saying, well, gee, I need backup power. And, you know, what do I have for backup power? And I thought, I'm reading all this stuff. You better be prepared for different stuff. Okay. I've got food. I've got water. I've got batteries. I've got lights. I've got a generator that runs on gasoline or propane. I need some of those battery packs. I already have a small Generac battery pack. Well, I ordered another two. They're 1,000-watt units, and they take up to about 2,000 watts. And they've got solar panels and all this kind of stuff. So I'm kind of prepared there. And then I hear people online, different shows, and they're saying, oh, watch out, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, so forth. I just want to be prepared. I don't want to cause anybody any problems. I just want to be prepared, get through what I got to get through, and go on with life. And, oh, yeah, speaking of today, I received an email from a lodge brother, and he said, hey, would you participate in a service in this one town, which is about 8-9 miles away? For a guy that was a member of your original lodge before you merged with us. And he was 94 years old. And I knew the name. I know some of the family. And I said, yeah, I'll be there. And they told me to be there at, what was it, 10:30. Well, I get there, and there are only like 4 cars in the parking lot. And I'm like, oh no, this can't be. I'm right here at the right time. So I went in, and the funeral director said, oh, we're going to the cemetery because we're going to do the service in the cemetery. Well, the word for today for me was communication, because the guy that sent the original text didn't say where it was going to be, other than be at the funeral home by 10:30. So that was the word for communication. So anyhow, we had the service, and it was a nice one. It was outside, and the sun was shining. And, of course, somebody was spraying chemtrails up above us, probably up to the south. You know how to tell chemtrails? Well, that's when a jet flies over in the high atmosphere, and this white stuff comes out the back. Well, if it's a chemtrail, it goes on for a long distance. If it's just a contrail, the jet exhaust only goes out so far and it dissipates. Boy, they were spraying today. I don't know what they're spraying up there, but drives me nuts. Maybe it's something to help with hurricanes. Who knows? But anyhow, guys in Port St. Lucie over to Tampa and then up to... looks like Virginia, for the next couple of days, you're going to have some problems. So like I said, Port St. Lucie at 7 a.m. Thursday, 7 p.m. Thursday. It's past Tampa and heading up and curving up into Georgia by 7 a.m. on Friday. 7 p.m. on Friday, it's in Virginia. So don't say I didn't warn you guys. Be prepared, okay? It's probably a duck and cover situation. Just be prepared for it, and you'll be okay. Everything will be okay. If I got through one, you can get through one, okay? Well, hey, a big thanks to Trim Radio Network for carrying the show. And Michael and I have a really good time. And before the show, I mean, we can cut up and everything else. But we have a good time, and I really appreciate being on the network. I've worked with Michael before and on another network and stuff, and it's fun. You know, the big shout out, we talked about Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. Phil is going to be a grand dog paw, or he is one, I guess. Seems like Patches, his nice little miniature dachshund, decided to have 7 pups, and now it's down to 4, but they're all healthy. And I've been invited over Friday to kind of say hi to the pups. Oh, they're cute. But boy, I'll tell you what, it's demanding. Could you imagine getting up at night and using an eyedropper to feed them? Oh, yeah. And they're all AKCs, American Kennel Club. So if you like miniature dachshunds, these guys are cute. It's one guy and 3 girls. So big shout out to them. Also, you know, we take a look at some of the videos on YouTube and Southern Prepper One with Dave Kobler. Check them out with Boots on the Ground. Check out Brad and Krista at the Big Family Homestead. They're out in Wisconsin. Also, you know, check out Danny and Wanda King down in Mississippi with the Deep South Homestead. I'll tell you what, they're great people, and they have great channels. They talk about a lot of stuff, whether it's growing crops or things on the farm, you name it, they've got it. We'll check them out. Well, hey, let's get into pet peeves. My pet peeve is my cell phone constantly going off for some reason, and it just did, and I put it on vibrate, and I don't know. Maybe people on Facebook like to send me stuff. I don't know. But the phone goes off and off and off, and then I get voicemails. I'm retired. You know, I don't need a lot of stuff. But anyhow, that's a pet peeve. Also, drivers. Oh, God, how about rules? People, just, you're going out to the funeral. You're driving towards the east in town, and all of a sudden a car comes across the 4-lane highway, cuts across you, and goes back down on the interstate and heads south. Drives me nuts. They didn't slow down or anything. And if I would have been going the speed limit, I would have hit them. Well, who would be at fault? I guess the guy cutting in front of me. And then somebody wasn't paying attention today and hit my bumper. Oh, I wasn't irate. I was being a gentleman. But we exchanged data and so forth. And you know, it was very, very, very minor. It was just a scratch and so forth. But he said, that's what I get for not paying attention. I said, yes. So from now on, you better pay attention. Was it too much time wearing a mask? Was it too much time staying in? Was it too much time listening to people tell you, well, you have to do this because of the bug. People have the bug. They're finding out from some of the stuff that I've read, and I couldn't even quote the source, but it goes back, and I've talked to a couple of nurses. The big key is vitamin D3. That's a big key. And that and zinc. Those two things, and vitamin C and fresh air and exercise, takes care of the problem. I don't know what else to say? I mean, this is just what I've heard. And so far, I've done what they've said, and I've been okay. And you know, when I go to church on Sunday, I'll be talking to people, and they say, well, we haven't seen you in a while. I said, there's a reason because of it. Anybody that sneezes and wheezes and hacks and so forth, I don't want to be here and get it. So if you come in with cooties, I don't want them. I don't need them. And we came to a very nice understanding about that. And I said, you know, I'll be in, but if there's too much wheezing and sneezing and hacking, I'm out of here. And that's the way it goes. Hand sanitizer and all. I watch what I do. And if I'm around people like that, I even use a type of sanitizer on my clothes when I get home. I change, shower. I'm not a germaphobe. I just want to be careful. You know what I mean? Outdoor to football game, I have no problem. But anyhow, oh, and the drivers? Eesh. Well, anyhow, I've covered my pet peeves. But what's happening in the world? Have you noticed your food prices going up? Vegetable prices are going up. Other foods are going up. And they keep saying, well, they're going to go higher. Wait until next year. Just wait until next year. It's going to get worse. Well, I post that on Money and Change, and there are different people that are talking about it. And Alaska Prepper, I got to get him on the show. I mean, AP's a good guy, and he's very smart. He's a good financial analyst that used to be with the Army. He's very smart. And he presents a lot of information. And what's funny is we jive on that information. We understand what's going on. And, you know, when I was at the dentist this afternoon, I had to go in for a cleaning, you know, and they're always asking me, well, still doing the radio show? And I'm doing two radio shows a week. And there are different topics and so forth. But, you know, I still look at the financial data and everything else for Sunday. And they said, well, what do you think? I said, everybody that I have listened to, which are credible sources, are saying food costs are going to go up. The cost of living is going to go up. Who knows? You might even have to pay more taxes. And Prepper Princess comes on, live simply. And she can do that. And she says, you know, some people in other foreign countries live on $1.97 a day or $1.98 a day. I don't think I could do that. You get a double stack at Wendy's and fries and a senior lemonade and it's $5.86. I could go home and make something, but I was between a funeral and the dentist, you know, and I had to watch my time. Well, anyhow, you know, they're saying that the food prices are going to go up. What's that going to do to the restaurants? It was already in Wendy's that they would only serve lettuce on request. They didn't have any of the honey barbecue sauce. I like to dip my fries in the honey barbecue sauce. I felt deprived today. I had to use ketchup. I love honey barbecue. Just to dip that fry, that hot fry in there. Oh, that's so good. Well, anyhow, prices are going up. And some people can't get supplies. And that's what I told the guys in the dentist office. I said, you better stock up on supplies because the way things are going, if we have a rail strike, but right now somebody settled, so I think we're good to go there. But if we have a problem, then petroleum that moves by rail is a problem. It really is. And the first priority is going to be the railroad. The second priority goes to the semis. And then everybody else. Well, if there's a shortage and they clamp down, then we don't have what we need to get around, do we? We don't get our food, everything else. And now I read someplace this morning, I don't know if it was on Zero Hedge or Reuters or wherever. Basically, They're saying that the UN wants to do away with all petroleum. Somebody, have they been sniffing something, drinking something, snorting something, or have worn their masks too long? They're oxygen deprived. I would say almost brain dead. Well, yeah, I'll leave that. That's political, and I don't want to go there. And then we had, going from the food and the diesel and everything else, they were talking about for a couple of days, oh, the red wave is just going to do it. Well, it turned out to be a slight ripple in the stream. Seems like the Republicans couldn't get their act together. Crazy politicians. Around me, it all went red. I'm sorry, guys. Montgomery County was blue. Everything else was red. Down in Tennessee, the voting machines didn't work. Same thing out in Arizona and a few other states. Just check into that stuff. Here's a funny one. Well, it's funny in a way. The guys in Pennsylvania, they don't know what they're doing. They had this Fetterman who doesn't dress the part, doesn't act the part, can't really speak the part. And he had a stroke, and I know that, but he was never good at anything. And his wife says, well, I'll speak for him. And I'm like, oh, brother, he got elected. Well, then I thought that was bad. But then Pennsylvania elected a dead Democrat. Can you believe that? Oh, we're just going to vote for a dead person. Well, they allow dead people to vote in Chicago. So why not in Pennsylvania? Well, anyhow, Pennsylvania state representative died in October, was reelected during yesterday's midterms, according to the Pennsylvania House Democratic Caucus. And Tony DeLuca, who was 85, died October 9th after a brief battle with lymphoma, a disease he twice previously beat. Sorry for the family and sorry for his passing. But can you imagine a state voting for a dead person? I mean, Chicago, we understand that, okay? I mean, you can say Uncle Charlie was a lifelong Republican, but after he died, he voted Democrat. Well, anyhow, that's going on. Oh, so much stuff going on. I just get so much information just before things get going for the show. A net 17% say they will spend less this holiday season. Why? Because they don't have it. Some people say, I'm just going to give out gift cards. Well, what if we have a financial crash? The gift cards aren't going to work if everything's closed. What if we have another COVID thing? You can't use the gift cards. Well, anyhow, Mike Shedlock at Mish Talk, and that's MISHTALK.com, came out with one. He said 17% believe they will spend less this year. Many are stressed over gifts and even the Christmas or Thanksgiving dinner. And there's going to be a shortage of turkeys. Well, that's okay with me. I don't eat turkey at Thanksgiving. I think you're weird not eating turkey Thanksgiving. That's all American, you dummy. Well, no. I always eat ham. For some reason, I like ham. I like bacon. I like pork. I like steak, but I'm not really a tasteless turkey person. And the doctor tells me you have to eat more turkey because it's good for your health. Oh, I don't know. When I go out, I get it occasionally, only for the cranberry sauce. That makes it worthwhile. Well, anyhow, out of this whole chart for the 2022 holiday season, the spending plans are this. 24% are spending less in food and beverage. Well, prices are going up. 26% are cutting back on celebrations. 32% are cutting back on gifts. Overall holiday spending 34% are spending less, while 17% are spending more. Alcohol, 42% are saying, hey, I got to lay off the stuff. It's too expensive. 10% of the people polled, they're going to drink more. 43% we're going to work on decor, and 10% we're going to do spending more. Speaking of decor, you know, my neighbors, it's like, let's outdo the other neighbors. They've got their Christmas stuff up now, the inflatable stuff, and they've got it on a timer. And I'm driving around. I come back from the funeral and the dentist and all this kind of stuff, come back to the house. Everything's deflated. And when I go outside in a couple of minutes to check, all of their stuff is up. It's all Christmas stuff. It's not even Christmas. They're jumping the gun. It's like they went to Walmart or Home Depot. Those guys always have this stuff up way too early. Maybe they'll just have a store called Holidays or Us. I know up in Frankenmuth, Michigan, they have the Christmas store, and it's 12 months a year. I won't say open 24/7. It's not. I made a point not to go in there because of all the doodads and gadgets and everything else. And if I go up in July, I don't want to bring back Christmas stuff back to Ohio. And you take a look at everything that's going on. Travel, 44% are saying, I'm not going to travel that much because gasoline prices. A lot of people are stressed over groceries. 15% are stressed over cooking and hosting. Winter holidays, 20% are stressed out, purchasing groceries, cooking, and so forth. A lot of stuff is, the economy is not good. It's not going to get good. It won't be good for quite a while. The dollar is going to be worth less. And so if you're not cutting back, you better start. Instead of having a big, gigantic dinner that takes you 5 hours to prepare and 5 hours to clean up and only to feed your face, or as the British say, only to feed your pie hole, I don't know. Keep it simple. It's the KISS method this year and next year and probably the year after. Keep it simple, stupid. I'm not calling you stupid, but I mean, we used that term when I was going to my master's work at Xavier University. Anything more was more than 20 pages and you weren't precise. They jumped you about it. Luckily, I could only think of probably 20 pages worth of research. I did more than that, but anyhow, they didn't nail me for it. How about student test scores? How about talking about student test scores? There's the phone again. It's buzzing. Oh, I hate that. Anyhow, we had test scores in my local school district was the second lowest in the county. It was really bad. It was the second lowest in the county overall. And they say, oh, we have really good schools. Gee, how's come 50 some percent of them can't read? Or 30% can't do math or whatever. They have some excellent students, but it's few and far between. And I always tell people, you know, if I had kids, I would send them to a parochial school or a Catholic school. I'm not even Catholic. But I would send them to a different school other than a public school because they learn more. Ooh. They're more responsible people when they get out. And you know, if the kids misbehave, what's going to happen to the kid? They get kicked out of there and they get sent back to public school, and they don't want to do that. Plus, there's a very good atmosphere, at least with a city of about 20,000, 22,000 people. And we have a state college, and a lot of kids at the high school can go to the state college. their senior year, and they can take college classes. Some of them that are even smarter than that take college classes their junior year. And so that's a big deal there. And I've known some students to actually do that. And so by the time they graduated from high school, they were actually a sophomore, graduating a sophomore in college. It's amazing. I didn't have that opportunity, but we had very high academic standards where I was at. But student test scores are going down. Why are they going down? Was it because of isolation during COVID? Was it due to wearing a mask all the time, lack of oxygen? What causes it? Is it the demanding ability of the teachers and the kids say, oh yeah, well, whatever, I'll just do whatever I want to do. Yeah, big deal. And then they get out in the workforce, they find out, oh, I'm flipping burgers at Wendy's. Oh, I'm just pushing a broom. Oh, I've been on welfare for I don't know how long. They're in that type of mentality. People don't want to go back and they don't want to work. And some of it is, well, I can't get a job. I'll tell you what. I was at a place Monday. And they said, oh, they were talking about jobs. And this one guy sitting there, he says, well, I heard of a place. And he mentioned the place. I'm not going to tell it. But he mentioned the place that said $100 an hour. And I'm like, $100 an hour? Holy cow. I'll come out of retirement for that. I don't know what it was. But that's what he was saying. Another guy said, well, I knew somebody that was getting $50 an hour to work doing this, or $25 doing that. But they can't get people. They don't want to work. You kind of wonder what's going on. You know, back when I got out of school, yeah, I worked before I went to college. I went to college and came back on the summers and I worked to help pay for college. And I did that every summer except one, and I had to take extra classes. Not because I was stupid. I wanted to get a certain degree and classroom background. And I had to have sociology and a couple other classes. And the only time I could get it was actually in summer school. And I had one of the best sociology professors I've ever had. And it was fantastic. Oh, it's just something else. And you know, you wonder what's going on with education. You get people graduating and going into college and they can't read. Or they can't write. Or they don't know basic math. I've always said they need a class called some type of skills. Social is not social skills, but you know what I mean? Where they show them how to balance a checkbook. They know how to do different things that they're going to do in life. What to expect when you have a mortgage on a house, how much you're going to have to pay, and how long you're going to have to pay it. Is it cheaper to pay it off in 15 years, or is it better to pay it off in 30 years? What's a second mortgage going to do to you? What type of car do you want? I know you want the flashy car, but can you afford it? Do you know how to do a budget? That's the key things in life. Civics, do you know how to vote? Do you know how to responsibly do this, that, and the other? But they don't get into the financial aspect of life. And they need to do that. And I think they're just beginning to realize it after how many years? 50 years? It's crazy. But education's gone downhill in a lot of locations. They've made things too crazy, this ESG junk. The math, common core math. is stupid. I know the principle behind it is proving your math, but the way that they go about doing it is a lot more difficult than just saying, okay, memorize the tables. You know what it is. This is how you figure it out. Boom, you're done. But no, now you have to go back and rethink everything. It's worse than taking calculus. It's worse than taking trigonometry. It's worse than a lot of things. Oh God, I'm on a rant tonight. What a deal. Oh, well, hey, it's my world. It's your world too. I mean, what are you doing in your world? Hey, let us know. You know, you can get a hold of us. Send us an email. Contact us at Trim Radio Network. Just contact us. Take our call-in numbers. Give us a hoot. Call us up and say, hey, we want to talk. And we'll talk. And maybe our viewpoints won't be the same. On the other hand, they might be dead on. I'm kind of, people say, are you conservative or are you liberal? I tell them, well, it's like this. I'm kind of conservative on some things. I'm kind of liberal on the others. I'm kind of libertarian. I don't know, just a lot of different things that I look at. And I try to look at them in an objective manner. And maybe that's the way that I was told or guided at the University of Findlay and at Xavier University, to look at things very objectively and to see the commonality of everything. It's just one of those things. I don't know how you guys think, and you know, maybe we can talk sometime on the show and come to a common consensus about what's going on. Because I'll tell you what, this financial situation that we're in, it's scary. Some of the banks are getting scary, and some of the people with cryptocurrency, and I'm going to be talking about cryptocurrency on Sunday. Cryptocurrency is, there's a problem with it, especially with Bitcoin. So you want to listen in on Sunday. We're going to go through a lot of different things on Sunday in the financial and prep world. So you want to be ready. Well, anyhow, you know, we always end up with some political jokes about Congress or any other type of jokes. And I found some today, and the opposite of pro is con. So the opposite of progress is Congress. And here's a question. How many congressmen does it take to change a light bulb? Well, it takes two. One to change the bulb and one to change it back again. The secret to making Congress more efficient is to replace all the people with horses. Sure, every vote would end in a nay, but hey, at least the House or the housing market would be stable. What's the difference between death and taxes? Well, the answer is Congress doesn't meet every year to make death worse. Republicans and Democrats came together in Congress to allow medicinal marijuana for the purpose of relieving arthritis pain. So there's joint support for joints, for joint support. I don't know where they come up with these jokes. I just read them. Hey, 2 years ago, my brother ran for Congress. And his friend said, well, what does he do now? And the guy says, nothing. He got elected. Ain't it the truth? A robber held up a well-dressed man, pointing his bang-bang and yelling, give me all your money. And the man replied, don't you know who I am? I'm a U.S. congressman. The robber retorted, in that case, give me all of my money. And why can't Congress ever be vegan? because all the turkeys playing chicken in a beef over pork is pretty fishy. I guess that deserves a bit of bump. And what did the corrupt congressman order on election day? Come on, this is an easy one. Stuffed ballots. And what do you call a bad lawyer? Now think about it. What do you call a bad lawyer? You call him a senator. And how's that? I'll tell you what. There's so much going on. I'm glad the elections are over with. I hope Congress can get back to finally working. That's working. Maybe a dirty word. But Congress needs to get back to working, period. In doing what's right for the country. Not for the political party, but for the country. They work for the people. And always remember, when the congressman says, well, you work for me. No, you work for me. Think about that. Well, I don't know where Michael's hiding, but I know he can hide and hide and hide and then suddenly sneak in. And he has a way of doing that. And without my camera working for some weird reason, I'll have to get that fixed. There's something in the system that's blocking my camera from working. And we can always tell each other and signal what's going on. And I don't know if his camera's working or not. Mine says reset permission. And I've done that. I don't know what's going on, and I've got to figure it out by Sunday. I'll tell you, it drives me nuts that we can't get things working here. At least Michael's got his stuff working on his super fantastic, super caligits or whatever computer, but not me. For some reason, my camera is not doing what it's supposed to do. Well, nobody wants to see my face anyhow. You know, I mean, if I went to a beauty parlor, it would cost me $1,000 just for an estimate. I've known some ladies that go into a beauty parlor and they end up getting a $3,000 estimate. Maybe the Tammy Faye Baker makeup kit. Oh, I won't even go into that. Oh, well, I will. One time I walked into class way back when, and I didn't have anything to really talk about for our beginning class. It was like our get-together session in the morning. And we were only together in our home room for about 20 minutes. And you know, we take attendance and everything else. And I thought, oh, this is going to be great, you know. But I needed something to get everybody's attention. So I got a trowel and a bucket. And I brought it in a small bucket and a pail. And I set it on my desk. And the students looked at it and they couldn't figure out what it was. And I picked up the trowel and I kind of waved around, tapped it in the bucket. And they said, well, what's that? And I gave them a couple guesses. And I finally told them, I said, this is a Tammy Faye Baker makeup kit. Because at that time, there was a gal that was on one of the church channels, and it was Tammy Faye Baker, and she had more makeup on her than you could put on with a spatula and whatever. It was something else. So anyhow, I had a little bit of fun doing that. But Michael, where in the heck have you been? You said 53, and it's 54.
Well, actually, I came on at 53 here, and it just turned 54. So I'm on time.
And you feel like 55?
It could be.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, guys, have a good week. Keep a sense of humor because, God, we're going to need it. And I'll see you guys on Sunday at Money and Change / Financially Prepped.
Absolutely. And we will do that on Sunday. So I am coming over here. Let's see. We'll shrink this down. You saw the new banners we have, right? So if you come over and you're watching on Facebook, since Stu couldn't get his camera up tonight, we had our banner up there for it, for My World, Live, Laugh, or whatever. And,
oh, my goodness.
That's our new banners. And, yeah, I've been working hard on this stuff, Stu. Anyway, folks, listen, have a great week. We'll see you Sunday. Don't forget, Sunday at 7, and that is Money and Change. And, just have a good week. We know the hurricane's coming. God bless the people down in Florida. I am praying for Raskella and everyone else that is down there. May God keep the winds calm as calm can be, and let's just pray that they get through this thing okay. So don't forget to say a prayer for them down there. And God bless y'all. We will see you all on Sunday coming up here. And that should do it for us, Stu. We will we'll see you then. The book.